BBC Radio Berkshire, Fat Larry's Band and Zoom. It's been 90 years since the very first broadcast for BBC, from the BBC. Today marks the first broadcast for the British Broadcasting Corporation in 1922 on its 2LO transmitter.
2LO Marconi House, London calling. 2LO Marconi House, London calling.
And one man who's been part of the BBC for much of that 90 years, although he wasn't there in the first broadcast, I hasten to add, is Sir Jimmy Young. And I'm delighted.
Touch of the swinging music. 247 meters, that's where you want to be. Radio 1, 247, where the JY show will be leaping away all the way. TTT. You tell him, Raymonda.
Today,
ah, thought you'd never ask. Hey, forgotten mincemeat pie, isn't it?
Jimmy Young on Radio 1 there, and he joins me right now. Jimmy, hello. Are you there, Jimmy?
Yeah, I am.
Lovely. Well, it brings back so many happy memories, that, I tell you.
Yes, absolutely. How are you keeping, anyway? You're still swinging away?
I certainly am, Jimmy, yes, absolutely. Yes. I know that you delight in saying, because somebody at Radio 2 told me the other day, that you are actually older than the BBC.
Yeah, I'm 14 months older than the BBC, actually. I was born in September 1921.
Yes.
And the BBC's first broadcast was on November 14th, 1922. So, yes, I'm 14 months older than the BBC.
And you joined in 1949.
I did. Well, I did my first broadcast in 1948. Actually, funnily enough, my first broadcast wasn't for the BBC. It was for All India Radio in Delhi, but that's another story which I won't bore you with. Yes, I did. I was singing and playing the piano on August the 9th, 1949.
And what was the broadcast you did in 1949? Was it singing with the piano, was it?
In 1949,
yes.
I was singing and playing the piano.
A lot of people forget that you were a great singer. In fact, Jim, I bought your record, The Man from Laramie, I think it was.
You didn't.
I did. I promise you, I'm not joking. And Unchained Melody, wasn't it?
Yeah, I had two successive number ones. That was with the, as you say, The Unchained Melody and then The Man from Laramie.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I also saw you in pantomime at, let me see, where was it? Golders Green.
Well, I did one at Golders Green, and I did a couple at the Grand Theatre at Wolverhampton as well.
That's right, and a fine figure of a man you were, actually, coming out there in a green outfit, carrying a bow, as I remember, and all the dancers went, "Hello, it's Jim."
Did they?
Yes, they did.
And did I? I don't remember carrying a bow, but if you
did
say so, I believe you.
I've never forgotten that. It was a great panto, and you came out and sang, and I think all the girls went, "What's the recipe today, Jim?"
Very likely, I mean, it was always a very strange thing, this sticking in the popular singer of the moment into the middle of a pantomime, which had nothing to do with anything, but there you go. It was work.
So what made you, I mean, you were a singer, and you were, you know, you had some terrific amount of success as that. And then you were spotted singing in a sports club, I believe, by the BBC. That's how it all started, wasn't it?
Having come out
of the RAF.
Well, actually, yes. I auditioned for the BBC and failed. But that's I got a part-time job playing piano and singing in a little club called the Nordic Club, which is at Hampton Court, which isn't there anymore.
Mm.
But and one evening, a BBC producer called George Innes, a lovely man, came in, heard me singing and playing, and he said, "Have you done any broadcasting?" And I said, "Would you like a large gin and tonic?" And that we had, and yes, he arranged an audition for me, and I got a broadcast.
And you were, of course, on the UK variety circuit as well, weren't you?
Well, I went round the hall. In fact, I closed most of them. I did the halls, as they say, and it was very hard work, hard way to earn a living, I may say, but there you go, it was work.
Then, of course, those of us who are out there on the pirate radio ships, we all joined up at Radio 1.
Absolutely.
And you had and of course, on your morning show, because I was doing the breakfast show and you were doing the morning show, you were singing, of course, as well.
Yes, I did. Doreen Davis was my producer at the time, and it was her idea, well, two ideas, actually. First, that I should read a recipe. That was a bit bizarre on Radio 1. And the other one was that I should do what she called a gym-type song. So we used to go to Maida Vale and record them and then transmit them in the programme.
What was the... Because I actually sat in for you one day, and I actually had the... I had to sing as well.
But, Well, you were a very good singer.
Oh, so were you, Jim. Yeah. And then you moved on to the afternoon show.
Yeah.
What made you... Whose idea was it to have politicians coming on and celebrities and things like that? It was brilliant.
Well, it was mine. I went to see... it was rather funny, actually. Hmm. I went to see Ian Trethewen. You must remember Ian.
Yes, I do. Yeah.
He was managing director of radio at the time. And he'd asked me to go and see him. And I said, you know, what do you want, Imma? And he said, well, I've heard the people say that work on your program, that you actually put the records on and read the newspaper. So I said, well, that's true. He said, well, do you want to do something a bit more sort of meaty than that? And I said, well, what I'd actually like to do would be to introduce a current affairs element onto Radio 2. And he said, well, fine, have a go at it. And that's what we did.
And it went on for, nearly 30 years, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was 29 years, yes.
And Margaret Thatcher, of course, said that you were her favourite broadcaster.
Do you know, I've heard that down the years, and I've never been able to trace that she said it, but there you go. I mean, any little mention like that has to be good.
Well, exactly. And, of course, you had enormous success on that particular programme. What do you think, celebrating the last sort of 90 years of radio, what have been your favourite moments over those years?
Well, there are so many, Tony, and you must have many as well. I mean, as you say, getting the political element onto Radio 2 was quite an achievement, and it's still there to this day, for that matter.
Yeah.
But also the foreign tours, because in Australia, for instance, I interviewed Bob Hawke when he was a union leader, and then I interviewed him later when he was prime minister, and in fact got told off by the Prime Minister of New Zealand, who said you couldn't even make the extra effort to get from Australia to New Zealand to interview me. So I got to flee my ear there. But yes, those sort. And President Sadat, I interviewed in his summer palace in Egypt, which is a wonderful, wonderful moment. The view from the palace over the Suez Canal and so on is absolutely magnificent. And he was such an interesting man. So, yeah, lots of moments like
that. Do you listen a lot to radio today? I mean, what do you think of it?
Do you know, it's funny. I never listened to radio. The only time that I used to listen to radio was listening to Terry Wogan when I was driving into work. Because, you know, that little handover thing that we did.
That's right, yeah.
Which grew to be a little program all on its own, actually. Mm. In fact, one senior BBC fellow said to me once, he said, you know, when you do that thing with Terry in the morning, he said, if you haven't done it by the time I arrive at BH, I sit in the car park and listen till you have.
Well, I used to listen to that. It's
funny because
very busy,
Terry has always lived in the country and I've always lived in London, so we never really saw each other apart from the Christmas party. And that was it. But there was just a rapport between us that seemed to work.
So you live in Florida a lot of the time as well, don't you?
Well, we go to Florida every year. We... You know, we've had a place, I beg your pardon, we've had a place there for quite a long time now.
Yeah.
And it's just nice to get away in the winter and have a bit of sun. That's about it.
Well, before we say goodbye, Jim, let's just hear you saying goodbye quite a few years ago. And I think this will bring back some nice memories, all right?
Right.
Have a listen.
Right.
Come back to you.
And that's all off. For this particular morning, at any rate. However, if perchance you have writ to the show, but in it today your car did not go, Jim's telephone recipe and penultimate line will all be here leaping tomorrow at 9. I wish you a very happy Wednesday afternoon. The sun's shining rather nicely here, so hope it is for you, wherever you happen to be. Have a super Wednesday afternoon. Don't be late for our rather important day tomorrow morning, will you? 9 o'clock. Look forward to being with you then. Uncle Dave Lee Travis will be with you, and I would say 15 secs starting from now. And meantime, from all of us here, including Prod, Whistling Paul Williams, this is J.Y. saying BFN. Bye for now.
My God, I'm worn out.
That's what I always used to admire about you, Jim, the energy you put into it.
It's lovely to talk to you, Tony.
Energy. And you used to wear those awful BBC headphones as well.
Oh, yes, that's right, yeah. A bit leaked noise.
Jim, thanks very much for sparing the time.
Pleasure. Good to talk to you again.
And BFN, Jim.
Okay.
Bye for now.